The first reading is from Isaiah 9, beginning in the second verse. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and even garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the book of Titus, beginning in the second chapter, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the assuring of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. The word of the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the way that you have so kindly loved and had mercy upon us, that you would so send your beloved Son, And I pray that you, by the grace of your Holy Spirit, would open your word to us. And I pray that you would let us behold just a glimpse of the glory of your Son today and the wonder of your kingdom. And that you'd open our minds and our hearts and our souls to your heart, to your word, and change us from within. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning again. Last week we opened the conversation about Advent and this spectacular, literal, historical day that is soon to come when Jesus our Lord descends from heaven on a cloud with great glory and great power. The way it's been said down through the ages is he will come again with glory to judge, with power to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. That day when we finally go home to be with the Lord forever. And yet, what we looked at last week was at the same time that Jesus sent out his disciples, empowered them by the Holy Spirit, to bring a message saying the kingdom of God has come near to you. And what we thought is it possible that we can say that the kingdom of God has come near when in fact isn't the message the kingdom of God is coming? In its fullness. And of course the answer is yes, it is coming in its fullness. And yet at the same time, the kingdom of God is here. Now, in our midst. And if any of you have got a testimony of coming to be a Christian, you already know that. You know what it's like when the Bible says we've been taken out of the domain of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the beloved Son. You know what it's like to know that Jesus Christ is now taking up residence in your life, in your own heart. You know what it's like when it says in the Bible, when two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. You know what the Bible says when Jesus tells us that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not that I will be with you, but I am with you. That the kingdom of God is here, that the kingdom of God is now. And so when he ascended to his Father's right hand, he sent forth the Holy Spirit, empowering the Christians to be a light in a dark world. And I told you last week what a joy it was for me as a teenager to have Christians come into my life and show me and introduce to me the kingdom of God and what it meant to be able to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done, and to receive Jesus into my life. The kingdom of God is coming near. It's here. It's now. And that actually is to be the entire experience of what it's like to be with Christians and what it's like actually to be with a church that's alive in Jesus. He is present in his church, is he not? And so we come to the second principle of the kingdom today, which is literally when Jesus sent them, gave them the message, go be the kingdom. Go be present to the people out there. Let the light shine through you. That belongs to the glory of heaven. He also gave a principle, and that principle is summarized in Matthew 10:8, and it's my favorite, I think sometimes, my favorite of all, because it gives us a glimpse of the mark of the kingdom of God. Jesus said these words, freely you've received, freely give. In the ESV, it says, freely you receive without payment, give without cost. You freely received, now go freely give. And when we see that principle come alive, we are not just tasting the kingdom of God, we are tasting the very heart of God. Did you know that his name is gift? That he is the giver of all good things? This is the story of the Lord himself who gives us a glimpse of his kingdom, that when his kingdom touches you, you begin to learn what it's like to receive, and in receiving it, be changed by it, and being changed by it, to give. It's crazy. It's literally when you learn to receive and taste the kingdom, you learn to give. And that's how the hands work. You receive to be changed to be able to give. Freely you've received, freely give. And I tell you something, it's not something you have to actually teach people. It's kind of like children. How many of you have to teach children to have joy that Christmas is coming? You just don't have to do it. How many of you have to teach a bridegroom? Now listen, what we want you to do is we want you to, when you see your bride, we want you to feel love for her. Do you have to teach that to a bridegroom? No, you don't. It comes out of it. It literally happens that when we taste the kingdom of God, we taste this principle. Freely we've received, now freely give. And that's the story. That's the story of what it means to be a Christian. Let me echo some words for you from the Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. Grace. What is grace? It's a gift. It's unmerited favor. Did nothing to deserve it. That's what grace means. It means I didn't work for it. I got it, not because I deserved it or earned it. No merit on my. It's a gift that came undeserving. It's literally receiving a gift from the Lord. By grace, you have been saved through faith. The Lord gave you eyes to see. He's giving you a gift, and that gift is meant to change us, to save us, to rescue us. Twice in this passage, you've got a negative. By grace, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that nobody should boast. It's a gift that comes from heaven, not of you, not of works, but a gift that comes from the Lord. And why does that gift come to us? Ephesians 2:4 says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. This is why the posture of the Christian is a posture with hands open to receive what the Lord has for us. And that's the beauty of coming to know the Lord. He gives, and when we receive from him, we are changed. And when we are changed, we learn what it means to give as we have been given. Does that make sense to you? That's why you hear the language in the Bible, forgive others as you've been forgiven. And you say, well, Lord, I can't do that. What am I supposed to do to forgive others? It's very simple. You don't need a class for it. You don't need a degree for it. Just open your heart and receive the forgiveness from above in Jesus. As you receive the blessing of being forgiven, you'll learn the power to forgive others because you've got it. You get it, you're changed by it, you give it. That's how the kingdom works. That's how the kingdom has always worked. This is how Jesus taught this so constantly throughout the Gospels. One of my favorites is the feeding of the 5,000, feeding of the 4,000. How many of you know that when they reached down, there was almost nothing to get? They only had 5-7 loaves. And Jesus told them, go feed everybody, 5,000 people, with about 5 to 7 loaves. How are you supposed to do that? It's called the miracle of the kingdom of God. You reach into nothing, and you pull out and you give, only to find that after you give, you've got more to give, because you've got more to give more. Even though you think you've got nothing, you reach back and you give, and as you're giving, you learn the process is just this. You're receiving to give, and as you give, you get more to get, to give more to go. It's fabulous, just fabulous. And the poor disciples are like, I'm just going to give you a little bit because there's nothing here. It sounds like my accountant. You don't have much, you can't give much. If you don't have much, you don't give much. And they're like, I'm going to give you a little bit. I'm going to give you a little bit. And you realize there's more to give every time you give because you got it. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus told the opposite story in the negative in Luke 18. The way he tells it is a guy goes and to the king, and he owes a massive debt. I mean, massive. I mean, think about not winning the lottery, but having to pay back the lottery. That's now you're in the story. He's got a debt. I mean, he's got a huge debt. And the king says, you owe, and you're going to go to prison unless you pay. And the guy flings himself down and says, oh, have mercy. And the king decides to extend mercy. And this huge debt, he forgives it. The man gets up and he goes out, he's forgiven. And the first person he runs into is somebody who owes him. And what you want to see in the story is, because I got it, you owe me, but I owed him, he forgave me, I'm going to forgive you. But what happens? He comes to the guy and he chokes him and says, pay back. What happened in that story? He got it, but didn't get it. Because if he got it, he'd have been changed by it. And if he was changed by it, he would have given it. But he got it and didn't get it. When he turned around, he couldn't give it because he didn't have it. How many of you know what it's like to be in church all your life and yet not know Jesus? And not know the kingdom of God in your life? You've gone, I know pastors who've been in seminary. They know all these things. They go through years of holy, but they've never met the Savior. Do you know when you meet him, everything changes? Everything changes. And you get a taste of the glory of God to come. You get this glimpse of it. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord wanted to teach his people how to give. And so back in the Old Testament, Abraham and Jacob, the moment they encountered the presence of the Lord, they tithed. They took the of their riches and gave glory to God by giving back 10%. And that's what you find in the law. The law begins to teach us how to give. That when we receive, we give. When we receive, we give. It's part of the learning of the process of the kingdom of God. But by the time Jesus arrived in the Gospels, what you find is the religious leaders, they were tithing, and they were proud they were tithing, and they were telling everybody that they tithe. And what ended up happening is that Jesus reprimanded them. You're doing it out of duty, not out of a changed heart. If you give out of duty without a changed heart, you know what that's called? It's called philanthropy. But when you are changed by it, you give it because your heart has been changed. This is a principle that the Lord wants us to learn, the kingdom of God. And why is that? Because in the kingdom of the world, we are designed the exact opposite. The nature of sin, the nature of the human heart in sin, is not to give. The entire fuel of our passion is to get. It isn't the open hand to receive, and in receiving be changed, and being changed to give with open hand. It's the opposite. In the kingdom of the world, everything is tight-fisted. It's mine, and I've got to have it. It's about me. It's making secure my life, everything that I've got. I start to build and make sure I've got the future all set. It's all about me. And then you see these pictures on the TV set of dogs and cats that need your attention and children and charities. And you think, well, maybe I should. Well, it is the Christmas spirit, they call it. It's an odd word. They call it the Christmas spirit. Maybe I should give a little bit out of what I've got. Everything's about me, about hoarding, about grasping. The hands clenched down and inside. And of course, that is the prince of the power of the air. That's the nature of the devil. What does the devil do? The devil's always, he's always about himself. Always about me. Always about making sure I'm protected. And building up his kingdom. The movement in the kingdom of this world is always up. It's mobility. It's career. It's advancement. It's house. It's boat. It's school. It's all these things about seeing our people, seeing ourselves and getting affirmation for others. It's the movement up. And so when Jesus came and said, it's not about the movement up. I've not come among you to be served. I've come to serve. I've not come to receive from you. I've come to give. And from the moment that baby's born in Bethlehem, the moment he begins to rise from adulthood into adulthood and begins to minister and serve, everything about him is to give. He doesn't attract attention to himself. He's not about up, he's about down, which is exactly why he washed the disciples' feet and became a servant and said, if you want to be great, be the least. Why? He came to give because that's who he is. That's his name. See, my friends, this is the whole point. When I was growing up in church, almost every single year around stewardship time, the pastor would get up and say, it is time to give. How many of you heard sermons like that? Five of you. So the thing is amazing is that in the world I grew up in, the pastor's job was to really take care of the big donors. Don't ever mess up with the big donor because the big donor leaves. And then for those who are kind of the medium, get them to give more. And for those who kind of like toss a buck in the plate to God, which is really interesting. Well, if they're in the hospital, who visits them anyway? And there's a politic that happens amongst churches of caring for people that are the givers and not caring for the non-givers, and it's a politic. And Erlyn and I, my wife is here today, Erlyn and I, when we were in church years ago, our pastor came into the church. His first sermon was, "I'm not interested in your money at all." I'm sure some people were relieved at that sermon. "I'm not interested in your money. You want to know why? I'm interested in your heart." See, the whole point is nothing about giving. This is the world teaches about giving. The world teaches about philanthropy. But nobody teaches the whole point behind what the kingdom of God does. The kingdom of God alone is the kingdom that knows that the Lord is the giver of all things. And when you've been touched by him and changed by him and the kingdom of God comes into you, what happens to you? We are changed. And so he said to those who gave the buck and the plate, "Please stop. For those of you who, I don't care what you give, I want you to know that Jesus wants your heart. He wants you to taste the kingdom of God." And he knew so well that those who are tasting the kingdom of God are going to learn about the gift of receiving and giving and giving and receiving and receiving and giving and getting, because they're changed by the King himself. This is why we do not teach the reformation of behavior. We teach the transformation of character. He wants to touch our lives, our souls, our beings. And you say to me when you walk out, "Why are you talking about this coming before Christmas?" Because this is Christmas. Listen to the story. God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave. Listen to what you heard. I know we've already heard the Isaiah 9 passage. Probably too early to have heard it. I know it. But listen to this. "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." That's the whole point of it. Coming out of Titus, I love the Titus passage that you read. It was fabulous. "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." The grace of God has appeared. Who is this person called the grace of God? Oh, you said it too softly. Who is this grace of God that has appeared? Do you realize his name is grace? He is the one who's come to give, because his name is give. And that's what he came to do. Hence, what we always say is walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. What did he do for us? He gave himself. My dear friends, I can only say to you, this is the uncontainable story of Christmas. We're rushing out on Bethlehem. In Bethlehem, there's a manger. And in that manger, God become man. God become flesh. Why? Not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for us. He's come in a manger. Probably nobody knew it. People were so unexpected, his arrival. People were not ready when he came. Stuck in a manger, the inn couldn't even take him. And yet there he is, God's gift to us. Paul will say it this way in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, gave himself up for us all, will he not also with Jesus freely give us all things?" Do you believe that? See, this is the thing that's so crazy about Christmas for me. Do you know that the world is celebrating Christmas? Does that perplex you? Because what they want is to celebrate Christmas without Jesus. They're celebrating Christ and don't want Christ. Isn't that odd to you? Does anybody want to go, "Hey, that's odd"? It's odd, except what they saw is this. We don't want your Jesus, but we love what's going on. Because we see what's going on at Christmas. You're all about giving. Ha-ha, we're about getting. So we're going to start opening up our stores right after Halloween. And what are we going to do? We're going to sing those stories, because you need to give. And when you give, 30% of the U.S. economy is built on Christmas, built on Christ that they don't want. Doesn't that amaze you? And then what happens in America? Guess what we do? We shut everything down on the 25th, and we live Matthew 10:8. We give presents and receive presents. We freely give, we freely receive on Christmas Day. Everybody does it. But they don't want the gift from the Father. And I'm going to tell you this now. Christmas belongs to us. Did I lose you? Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? I think I lost David a half hour ago, so. Christmas belongs to us. It is the story of the Father giving us the Son, that we might be rescued, that we might be forgiven, that we might know that what Jesus did on Calvary would wash us and clean us and give us a new life. And when we rise, my dear friends, we rise with a principle inside us. As we've received from Him, we are changed by Him. And when we're changed, we give. This is why I rarely need to teach a person who belongs to Jesus how to tithe. You don't need to learn how to tithe. If somebody is suffering, we don't need to teach Christians how to give. Or do we? Are we so stuck in the world between get that we've forgotten give? And yet so many of our churches, our dead churches, don't know how to give because they haven't gotten. But when you're with Christians who've received and been changed, one thing you know about them is they give. Why? Because it's the Father's name. It's the Son's name. And what did they do? They gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we might go out and freely give as we freely received. My question to you today is so simple. Where are your hands? If you walk out of here and say, what did he say? Talk about your hands. Are your hands clenched, gripping, getting, holding on, not wanting to give? Are your hands open? Just like Mary, be it unto me according to your word, in that posture of receiving. Then watch out, because what the Father wants to give you is the gift of his Son and make you alive in Jesus. And when you become alive in Jesus, life is so different. Life is so different. Because every breath that we've been given, we get to give what's been given to us. If you're holding bitterness and resentment against somebody today, stop it. Put your eyes on Jesus. Receive the forgiveness that he's given you. And in tasting it, you'll have the power in Jesus to forgive whoever you can't forgive. Do you believe that? Yeah. Because that, dear friends, is the kingdom of God. So I ask you, where are your hands? Are they open or are they closed? In Jesus' name.